morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's beautiful Northwest Side, and co-host, back by popular demand, back-to-back shows, Graziano Marcheschi.
You make me want to live on the Northwest Side. You speak of it with such enthusiasm.
Director of Lay Ministry Formation at Mundelein Seminary. Graz, how are you this morning?
I'm very well.
How was your weekend?
You know, I celebrated my nephew's second wedding reception. Not his second wedding, but same wedding, second reception.
How many parties are they having?
You know, one in Virginia, one in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That would make sense. And it was in Chicago yesterday?
It was a Friday night, actually.
So therefore,
and Friday we were talking all about volunteers. He's one of those people. He works with FOCUS, Fellowship of Catholic University Students. He and his new bride, they're both missionaries on college campuses.
That is terrific. And you remember, it was maybe about 2-3 weeks ago, we were privileged and honored to have with us on the program Sister Rosemary Connolly.
Yes.
The director, executive director of Misericordia. Well, I was present last night at her celebration at the Palmer House. 1,000 people at the Palmer House, 60 years of religious, 40 years the director at Misericordia. She entered religious life 4 years before I was even born, and I thought I'm pretty old. We're going to move to our program here. We have a great program lined up with four guests in studio. Our phone number happens to be 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408 here on Catholic Community Faith Relevant Radio 950 in Chicago, and the time is 9:03 coming up. We have with us in studio Sister Anita Baird, the Director of the Office for Racial Justice for the Archdiocese of Chicago, Sister Lois Preble, works with Sister Anita in the Office of Racial Justice, and a facilitator of the Archdiocese Workshops on Racism and Ethnic Sensitivity, and editor of a new book we're going to talk about, Witnesses to Racism. Also, we have two of the people in studio who have testimonies in the book, Deacon Dexter Watson, one of the 11 contributing members of the book, and a deacon at St. Malachy's in Chicago, and Francis Chickahisa, again one of the contributors of the book and a member at St. Clement's Parish in Chicago. Welcome to all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Sister Anita, you've been on the program many, many times, and so welcome back to all of you.
So we got split up. And then we went into Arkansas. And in Arkansas, I finished 3 years of high school. And the one saving factor through all our experience in camp was that the priests, the Mariano fathers and sisters, stayed with us. And every camp had a Catholic priest as a result of Mariano's efforts.
Francis, how many people were in the camp in California?
Well, each camp had about 1,000, and there were 10 camps. So altogether, there were about 120,000 of us.
So you were literally, as a family, were prisoners in this camp.
Yes, and most of us were American citizens, and we were children, minors, and so our parents were largely immigrants.
What was the feeling among those who were detained about the reality of it and the reasons behind it?
Well, you know, in the West Coast, in that era, there was so much racism and so much prejudice against our families that we all had to rely on our own ethnic group to survive. So in a sense, everybody that was Japanese got involved. So it was not like it was a selective population. We all had to go. I think that helped us to stay silent because we knew everybody we knew were in the same boat. Nobody really protested. Nobody talked.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz along with Graziano Marcheschi. And our topic is racism. We're going to be talking about a book entitled Witnesses to Racism.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
For four decades, the Catholic Campaign for Human Development has strived to improve the quality of life in our less fortunate communities. CCHD is committed to the right to life and dignity of every human being. Throughout Cook and Lake County, CCHD-funded programs keep kids safe, help the homeless and the elderly, and defend the rights of workers, immigrants, and people with disabilities. Break the cycle of poverty. Make Chicago and its suburbs a better place to live. Support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Monday morning, Chicago. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi with Father Greg Sakowitz. Our call-in number is 312-255-8408. We are talking about racism by telling stories of racism. We're focusing on a book entitled Witnesses to Racism. And what that means is not people who just stood by and saw it happen, but people who were right there in the middle of it, experiencing it. One of those people is Deacon Watson, Dexter Watson, who has his own story in this book. And Deacon Dexter, tell us about your experience.
Graziano, I would have several different things, but one of the things that really catch me is the fact that at a Catholic grammar school, they decided to close our grammar school on the west side of Chicago. And I grew up in that grammar school from first grade to eighth grade. And when they closed the Catholic grammar school, they decided to leave the community. And we were told to go to a different school. And I decided if they decided to leave our school and leave our community, then I felt that the Catholic Church gave up on us on the west side in my area. And I decided to go to a different church. I grew up in it. I knew about Baptist church. My grandmother was a Baptist minister. So I knew about there was other places I could go. And so I felt that the Catholic Church didn't care about us. And so I decided to leave the church. The only way I came back to the church is that I seen Father Clements on the south side on TV, and he was adopting two boys. And I thought that if he could adopt children, two boys, and maybe I ought to go over to Holy Angels. And I went over to Holy Angels, and I was welcomed very warmly by the men and Father Clements, because I sat right up in front in the church, and I wanted to hear what Father Clements was preaching. And if he preached anything that I thought was contrary to what I believed as a Catholic black man, I was going to leave the church. And I probably would have left the Catholic Church completely if Father Clements had not expressed the way he did when I went to the church there.
Dexter, when you left the Catholic Church, how old were you?
I was about 18, 19 years old.
And you came back at what age?
I came back about 4 or 5 years later.
And now you are Deacon Dexter Watson. So what year did you enter the diaconate program in the Archdiocese of Chicago?
1990, I was ordained. Father Clements encouraged me to become a deacon. So it was really good for me.
So talking about coming full circle,
yes,
raised as a Catholic, as a young child,
grammar school,
leaving the Catholic Church,
that's right,
coming back to the community,
that's right,
and now you find yourself a deacon for the Archdiocese of Chicago and doing marvelous work.
Well, thank you, Father. I appreciate that. We continually try to keep things as we see them. We continually try to be able to listen to people and be able to hear what's going on. My son, he's seen the same thing. He went to the same grammar Catholic high school that I went to, Providence St. Mel, and he came here and he got pulled over driving while black. That's in the book, and he was a frisk, as well as the valedictorian of a class of his, and he felt moved so much that he didn't want to live here in Chicago, so he left and went to Minnesota. and he's in Minnesota still today. He only comes back here once in a while because he feels racism here in this city.
So he moved north into the state of Minnesota.
He went to St. Olaf's College.
In college. Now, Sister Anita, we talked during the break. Not only do we have stories here of individual racism, but speak for a moment about institutional racism.
Well, I think we heard in both of their stories how the institution impacts people's lives, that you can take a whole group of Americans who have been loyal Americans and inter them in concentration camps. You did that to people of color. They did not do it to the Germans. They did not do it to the Italians. But they did it to the Japanese. We see in Dexter's story, while I think for the most part the church has stayed in inner city communities, there have been examples, as Dexter said, of people giving up. I think that is a concern today, that we're seeing the church slowly dying within the African American community. And so we have to be very careful in our institutions that people of color, that they're at the table, their voices are being heard, and that they are making a contribution to their own destiny.
Explain a little, help us to understand a little more how that was an experience of racism for you, Dexter, the closing of the school.
I had went to public high school, and then we was embraced at St. Malachy, and that was over 50 years ago. And so I felt that if they embraced my mother over at the church, the school that she went to, we ought to be embraced where the school I went to. I live at Perpetual Help. So the fact is that I seen experience is racism, not only from my mother's perspective, but also from my own perspective. So it was really something that I thought shouldn't have happened.
You know, Francis, and here it was December 7th, 1941,
yes,
with the bombing of Pearl Harbor, which that date is, you know, will last forever. So in February of 1942, your family is literally taken from their home,
yes,
taken to Santa Ana, Santa Clara, you said?
No, Santa Ana
racetrack. And there were 1,000 people living there. What was it like to be removed from your home, which means, I presume, all your belongings stayed at home? You took just literally the clothes on your back and a few things, and you were literally taken into this concentration camp.
Family situation, my father had an employee who was a Mexican-American, and he stayed in our house, so we really didn't have to sell a whole lot of stuff. The hardest thing was to leave our family pet, our dog, who was with us from the time I was 18.
But you were literally, at the age of 13, uprooted,
yes,
from your home. You did nothing wrong.
That's right.
And what was life like in that concentration camp?
Well, in Santa Anita, we were in the middle of the city of Arcadia. So we could go to the edge of the fence, and you could see the theater marquee showing the movies and people going about their regular life. And just this wire fence and barbed wire, and the sentry towers kept us from being in the city.
And which way did the guns point,
yeah,
Francis?
They kept saying that they put us in camps for our own protection, but the guns were always pointing inside at
us.
At night, they would searchlights would be running through the camp to make sure we were in.
And if someone were to try to escape,
they would
be shot on sight.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we're going to go to break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazio Marcheschi. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. A question you may have for one of our guests, we're talking really about the sin of racism. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
When was the last time you spoke with your neighbors? How are they holding up in these current hard economic times? People in your neighborhood, even the person living right next door, might be struggling. It could be a few late mortgage payments, a food shortage, or even problems with substance abuse or domestic violence. At Catholic Charities, your neighbors are in our care. We work to feed, clothe, counsel, and shelter anyone in need. Consider donating to our Neighbors in Need Fund. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net or call 312-655-7525.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you? You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. It's Monday morning in Chicago. The time is 9:22 a.m. We're talking about stories of racism. And if you have your own story to share, or if you'd like to comment on the stories of our guests, please give us a call. 312-255-8408. Lois, this is a really lovely, attractive book and very readable. It's in a nice format. Tell us how someone could acquire this book.
Okay, anybody who's interested, and I hope you all are interested, you can contact ECTA Publications. They are at 5559 West Howard Street in Skokie. The phone number is 800-397-2282.
That number once again, Lois.
800-397-2282, or on the web, ectapublications.com.
That would be ACTA publications.com.
Correct.
And they are a marvelous group, and their publications are outstanding, run by Greg Pierce,
right,
and John DeWan.
And Greg has been wonderful to work
with.
Yeah,
I wonder what parish he attends.
Wait, Greg and John, St. Mary of the Woods.
What a coincidence.
How about sports for 100 now?
Sister Anita.
One other thing. I would like you to ask Sister Anita to explain this cover. It's just gorgeous. And the feel of the book is so nice. So I would like...
All right. Yes. The picture is of a group of people seated around a table. Anita, tell us a little bit more.
Well, it's a mural that was painted in 1985. It is in the chapel at St. Sabina's Church on the south side. And you're right, but the interesting thing, it is a picture of would be normally the Last Supper. And around this table are people from many different nationalities. You have men, women, and children, black, white, brown, yellow, around this table. And the image of Jesus is very, very faint. And when the mural was being painted, I remember asking, why was the image of Jesus so faint? And the answer that I received is one that keeps me doing this work, and it empowers me. And that is, until everyone is welcomed at this table, Jesus cannot come into the fullness of his glory. So every time I look at this mural, I want to see the image of Jesus becoming more visible through the work that we're doing.
Yeah, that's powerful. Also, according to Diane Dunnigan, our producer, information regarding the book is on the front page of the Archdiocese website as well, which we'll give that number one more time before we go to break at 9:30.
Oh. If someone were interested in doing work with this book, you know, if they're interested in promoting the cause of anti-racism, how could this book be utilized within a parish context?
That's a real good question, Graz. This would be a wonderful tool for a parish to take, read a story, and talk about the story, but also talk about what's behind it. What's the racism behind it? Is it just individual racism? Is it spatial? Is it institutional? Oftentimes it's institutional, and we don't get it. But we need to take a deeper look at it. But we also want people to tell their stories to us. So again, if they would write their story and send it to us through dwellinmylove.org.
So dwellinmylove.org regarding their own personal story regarding racism.
Right.
And then email it off to you.
And email it. And there is even a place in the book. At the end of the book, there's a write your own story space. So people could include their own story in this book, and they can be the 12th person.
Let me ask you this.
The thing that always moved me has been the fact that Sister Nita Beard, when I was at a meeting, she mentioned about the racism is going to last over 30 years before we can see some change. And that has always caught me because I never thought that it would take that kind of time. And it's becoming more real to me every day that she knows exactly what she's talking about. Because the racism I see, people say, is it going to last during your lifetime? And hopefully it doesn't. I expect to live to be 150. So but I hope
that you might see the end of it.
Yeah,
Dexter.
I might see
the end.
Yeah.
Dexter, share with us your vitamins.
Yeah, well,
150.
A, B, C, D, E. But Sister has always been a very moving person in the black community, and I appreciate her a lot. But when she's told that story, I never thought that it would happen, but I'm beginning to believe that it will.
Go ahead, Gratz.
I think you make a great point. One of my questions would have been, why now? Why this book at this time? I think you hear polarized opinions. Some people say, you know, don't look at the fact that there's an African-American man in the White House. Things haven't really changed that much.
No, they haven't.
President himself would say, yeah, things have changed or I wouldn't be here.
Well, of course.
But obviously, the fact that there is a black man in the White House doesn't mean that there isn't racism on the streets. Address that question. Is this book still needed today?
The book is badly needed because the fact is that we need to know that there are stories that people have lived through, that we need to know that there's a possibility of change. Hopefully it will be changed. But the book is needed because the fact is that I've already gotten people who want to order the book based on the fact that I've told them about the book already. So, yeah, I think it's needed very badly.
And, Francis, before we close, as a young girl at 13, you literally were uprooted from your home. How long did it take you regarding forgiveness? Because if I was 13 years old and all of a sudden my family is, you know, taken from the home in Park Ridge and all of a sudden part of a racetrack and I did nothing wrong, I'd be a 13-year-old, very angry boy, bitter, you know, watching one of my brother or sisters, you know, dying.
But see, culturally, the Japanese people repress things that are painful. And so we've just buried it, you know, similar to many of the Holocaust, you know, survivors. They don't talk about this. And actually, it took me to move to Chicago before I fully became aware of how deep the pain really was. Because when I came
But again, have you forgiven?
Yes, I feel like I've forgiven because of my faith is what's helped me to realize that ignorance and racism were at the bottom of it.
And forgiving is, for our listeners, forgiving is never easy. There's a great line that goes like this. Things that we take in and we bury, the line goes like this. Things you take in quietly come out in noisy ways. So sometimes we think we're burying stuff and hiding it and just it's going to go away. Things we take in quietly come out in noisy ways. It'll show up somewhere else.
That's true.
It just does.
That's true.
Because otherwise we're like a balloon that'll explode.
That's right.
With anger or an unforgiving heart. And forgiving is a way to stop hurting. I think we need to bring the program to this segment to a close.
Father Greg, I just want to say one thing, though, because you're absolutely right. That is something you never get over, okay? Then you think of African Americans who have experienced hatred and racism in this country for 400 years, and it's still there. And even having an African, if anything, it has come out even more having an African American president.
Amen.
And so will we ever get there? My hope is that we do. My faith tells me that all things are possible, but we have a lot of work to do. And this book is a little way of contributing
to that. It's an outstanding book. And maybe, Sister Lois, again, one more time, a phone number to ACTA Publications.
Well, the phone number to ACTA is 800-397-2282.
And the web?
And their website is actapublications.com. ACTA publications.com.
And also information is available on the front page of the Archdiocese website, which is www.archchicago.org. I want to thank in a very special way Sister Anita Baird, the director for the Office of Racial Justice, the Archdiocese of Chicago, Sister Lois Preble, Francis Chickahisa, and Deacon Dexter Watson for joining us today on the program.
Thank you.
The book is entitled, again, Witnesses to Racism, Buy a Copy, Bring It Back to the Parish, Have a Small Discussion Group. You're listening to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
And it's only 9:95.
9:95. Want to get that in. And stay with us for part two, and do not touch that dial.
God bless
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Father.
God Thank bless you. All of you. Good to be with you.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408 on this cloudy but not too cold Monday morning in Chicago. And I have a bulletin right off the press here from other producer, Jim Dish, which we'll get to a little bit later on. But we have a new guest via the phone, Karen Winterburn, a member of the Adult Faith Formation Team at St. Catherine Labouré in Glenview. And welcome to the program, Karen.
Good morning.
Good morning. In fact, I was just at your beautiful parish yesterday. I was talking with your new pastor, Father Mina. I had a baptism, and they welcomed me. It's a beautiful church. I had not been there in years. And so, Karen, what is going on with the Adult Faith Formation at St. Catherine Labouré in beautiful Glenview?
Well, we have a speaker series. It's a St. Catherine Labouré Coffee Hour speaker series. This is our sixth year doing a themed series, and our theme for this year is A Conscience Fit for Freedom. Our lecture series is a seven-part series that meets one Sunday a month for 7 months out of the year from noon to 1:30. It's a lecture discussion format with a speaker. It's sponsored by and part of the work of our liturgy committee. The members felt a need for an educational component in adult faith formation, and as I said, this is our sixth year.
Now, who are the speakers for the seven-part series, Karen?
This year, our speakers are, first of all, Dr. Peter Cassarella was our first speaker. He'll be on, I guess, in a few minutes.
He will be on around 9:42, so don't steal his thunder.
Okay. He kind of set the groundwork for the series in showing the relationship between freedom, self-determination, and grace.
Mm-hmm.
And then earlier this month, we had Thomas Breca do a piece on freedom of conscience endangered current issues. He's the president and chief counsel of Thomas More Society Law Center here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And our next one is actually this coming Sunday, November 1st. Bishop Thomas Papraki will be with us. And
Bishop Papraki was ordained a priest a year before me. We played hockey in the seminary and basketball and football. He's a great, great athlete. And so he's speaking this Sunday, November 1st, from 12 until 1:30 at St. Catherine Labouré. And what is his topic?
Dynamics of conscience. It's formation, exercise, and suppression. And he'll be looking at questions like, what is a conscience? How is it different from opinion? How is it formed? What's our role, society's role, the church's role in doing that? Can it be repressed or suppressed? Is it relative to culture and religion and questions like that?
Explain to us the title of your series, A Conscience Fit for Freedom.
A Conscience Fit for Freedom. Everybody wants to be free, and everybody talks about freedom of conscience, but not many people talk about how you get your conscience to be fit for freedom so that it isn't just freedom at any cost and freedom that destroys someone else's freedom.
So you're talking about how to form your conscience, how to have an informed conscience.
Mm-hmm, right, and all the issues pertaining to that.
And who is a speaker then the next month, Karen?
We don't have one in December because there's enough going on usually.
Oh, that is true, yes.
December. But in January, on the 24th, we return with Dr. Jean Bethke Elstein, who is professor of social and political ethics at the University of Chicago Divinity School, and she's also professor of political science there at the University of Chicago. And her topic is Catholic Identity Politics, How a Faith-Formed Conscience Informs Political Convictions. So she'll be looking at the dynamic and healthy relationship of faith-formed conscience and political action. And in February, we have Professor John Breen, who's Associate Professor of Law at Loyola University. And he's going to do a piece called What is Justice? Two Views Compete for Your Conscience. And he's going to be looking at, first of all, a view of justice that's embodied in our kind of current liberal tradition of law that's predominant in our society now that equates freedom with absence of restraint. And that's going to be compared with the Catholic social justice tradition that emphasizes a balance between individual rights and responsibilities to the common good.
But you've got some real heavy hitters here.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, when you gave us all this, I presume you had notes in front of you? Because if this is off the top of your head, we're gonna make you a host of this show.
I do have the lineup here, which is what I'm.
And I think there's one more person coming, right?
Actually, there's two. There's Reverend Thomas Bema from the seminary, and he's a repeat. He was with us last year, and he was
backed
really
by popular demand.
Wonderful
he and I went to high school
man,
together.
Wonderful man,
Father
Very
Tom,
brilliant.
And I were high school classmates from Notre Dame.
That's right,
71. But he was ordained a year after me, class of 1980. You know.
He's also my boss at the Mundelein Seminary.
But
I was just telling him and a bunch of other people the other day that if I was ever on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Father Tom Bema would be one of my lifelines. He's one of the most brilliant men I know. He knows something about everything.
And who's the last speaker, Karen?
The Cardinal. The Cardinal is closing on April 25th, and we just got his topic today because... You know, basically, we told him he could speak on anything he wants to speak on. So he emailed his topic, and it's is religion free if conscience is protected? And he's going to explore how freedom of religion relates to freedom of conscience.
Well, it's interesting, Karen, that all these topics, they are high powered. About how many people do you normally draw to one of these sessions? I'm sure it varies.
Yeah, we've had over the years between 30 and 70. We've never had the Cardinal before, though, so...
Well, I'm sure it'll be a big draw.
Well, it sounds to me like you ought to have 300 or more, because this is really special. I mean, like I said, I'm not joking when I say you've got heavy hitters. These are really significant people who have something to say, and the whole series just really adds up to something very important. So I'm delighted that, you know, we can help you spread the word, and hopefully people from other parishes will be coming out. Tell us again when you're holding each of these presentations.
Okay, our next one is this Sunday, which is November 1st, and that's from noon to 1:30.
St. Catherine Labouré, give us the location in Glenview.
St. Catherine Labouré is at 3535 Thorndale in Glenview. That's between 294 and the Edens. I can give you also my phone number.
What is the phone number?
847-998- 847-9904.
That number once again, Karen.
847-998-4704. You can also go to our website at www.stcatherinelaboure.com.
Laboure would be
L-A-B-O-U-R-E.
Okay. We're going to keep you on the line. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. So, Karen, don't hang up.
Okay.
Our number, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sachs, along with Grazia Marcheschi. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
Would you like to support bringing in Jason Evert and other dynamic chastity programs that reach about 25,000 teens and young adults locally every year? Would you like to hear an internationally renowned leader from the Vatican discuss how U.S. policies on abortion and contraception are impacting Africa and the world? On Sunday, November 22nd, the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago is honored to welcome Cardinal Francis Arinze of Nigeria, the Vatican's Prefect Emeritus of the Congregation of Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments. Come hear this tremendous leader of the Church and our beloved Cardinal Francis George at the Educating Minds Inspiring Hearts Benefit Dinner for the Chastity Education Initiative. To reserve your seats to hear Cardinal Arinze, call the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or go to our website, respectlifechicago.org. Join us on Sunday, November 22nd for a great evening for a great cause.
As most of you know, I'm the pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side. We have an event coming up 1 week from this coming Saturday that should be of interest to many of you in our listening audience. It's called Time of Renewal with the Holy Spirit. There will be a presentation from Father John Harvey, pastor of St. Mary of the Assumption and Queen of the Apostles Parishes in Chicago. There will be personal witnesses and lively group discussions. Everybody is welcome, baptized and unbaptized, Catholics and non-Catholics, the spiritually hungry. There is no cost for this wonderful half-day retreat. Time of Renewal with the Holy Spirit will be held on Saturday, November 7th, from 9 until 1 p.m. The place, St. Mary of the Woods, on 7033 North Moselle, in Chicago. It's really off of Tui and Hiawatha, near that Leaning Tower Y in Niles, if you've been up in that area. For more information, call the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Center for Chicago at 708-209-1199, 708-209-1199, or call Kevin Patterson at 847-724-1218. That's the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Center for Chicago at 708-209-1199 or Kevin Patterson, 847-724-1218. I hope to see you on Saturday, November 7th at St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side for the Time of Renewal with the Holy Spirit.
And we are going to continue our conversation. We also have Dr. Peter Cassarella on the phone who's going to be joining us. Before we get to Dr. Cassarella, just wanted to ask our other guest, who is Karen Winterburn.
Yes.
By the way, my brother is a parishioner there, so I want you to take attendance at each of these and make sure that he shows up. but you mentioned earlier that this idea came through the liturgy committee. And oftentimes we talk about the connection between liturgy and justice. Can you talk a little bit about that connection, how the liturgy prepares us to go forth and live a life of justice?
Well, in our liturgy committee, our people are very cognizant of the fact that the liturgy is the center of our lives as Christians and as Catholics. But there's more to life than the center. The center has to go out. And that's why, for instance, the whole notion of adult faith formation came out of our liturgy committee, and the notion of adult education, that the liturgy has to prepare us for more than just doing the ritual on Sunday. So,
you know, the word Mass means to be sent.
To be sent
from the
Latin,
means
right.
to be right. sent. Of course, liturgy is the action of the people, but it doesn't end with the closing prayer or the closing song. We are to be sent, and really Eucharist is about we are to be Eucharist to each other.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know?
And so on that note, we want to thank Karen Winterburn, a member of the Adult Faith Formation Team of St. Catherine Labouré Parish in Glenview, with a series that continues and again will be held this Sunday, the next series.
Did we November ask for her 1. Phone number?
We'll get it again, November 1 at 12 noon at St. Catherine Labouré. And for more information, Karen, your number?
847-998-4704. And thank you for doing this piece.
Well, Karen, thank you for the great work you do at St. Catherine Labouré. And say hello again to your pastor, Father Mina. We're going to go to a break here on Relevant Radio 950 AM, Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheschi. And we will be with us on phone with Dr. Peter Casarelli right after a break.
For 4 decades, the Catholic Campaign for Human Development has invested in the human spirit, improving the quality of life in our less fortunate communities. CCHD is committed to the right to life and dignity of every human being. Here's Cardinal Francis George.
The Catholic Campaign for Human Development is designed to help people who are usually poor to figure out, with a little bit of help, how they can help themselves, and in that way to break the cycle of poverty.
From the far northern reaches of Lake County to the southeast side of Chicago, CCHD-funded programs keep kids safe and out of gangs, help the homeless get back on their feet, care for the elderly, and protect the rights of workers, immigrants, and people with disabilities. The need is great. Your help is critical. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development is committed to battling the root causes of poverty through faith and through action. Make Chicago and its suburbs a better place to live. Support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Sister Rosemary Conley celebrates her 40th year at the helm of Misericordia. We'll visit with Sister Rosemary and witness the wonderful work being done at Misericordia for people with disabilities. And we'll talk with Cardinal George about his new book, The Difference God Makes, A Catholic Vision of Faith, Communion, and Culture.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
It's 9:50 in Chicago. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith, the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm Graziano Marcheschi with our anchor, Father Greg Sackowitz, from the beautiful northwest side of Chicago.
It's all beautiful in Chicago and Cook and Lake counties.
And we're continuing our conversation about this wonderful series that St. Catherine Labouré Parish in Glenview is sponsoring, entitled A Conscience Fit for Freedom. And we're now talking to the first presenter in that series, Dr. Peter Casarella, who is a professor of Catholic Studies And he's also the director of the Center for World Catholicism and Intercultural Theology at DePaul University. Boy, that sounds pretty impressive, Peter.
It's supposed to sound impressive.
Well, there you go. You succeeded.
Yeah,
you came to us here in Chicago from Catholic U, is that right?
That's correct. I taught there for 14 years before seeing the light and making my pilgrimage here to Chicago.
What year was that, Peter, that you came to Chicago?
Excuse me?
What year did you come to Chicago?
I came 3 years ago. This is my third year to have the privilege to teach in the Catholic Studies program here at DePaul. So we're trying to build that up together with that to start this new research center.
Mayor Daley's going to become your new best friend. You keep talking like that. That's great. Well, Peter, tell us, you kicked off this series at St. Catherine Labouré, and the title of your talk was Human Freedom, Self-Determination, and the Grace of Christ. Just tell us a little bit. Obviously, you can't recreate the talk here, but what were some of the highlights of the presentation that you made?
Sure. First of all, I want to tip my hat to Karen Winterburn and her team. I think that the series at St. Catherine Labouré is a magnificent event, and it was a real privilege for me to participate. And it's an extremely timely theme, a conscience fit for freedom. In fact, the Holy Father, and the remarks that he recently delivered in the acceptance of the credentials of new U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See, Miguel Diaz, spoke precisely to this question as something that we have to take seriously and elaborate more to speak to the signs of our times. In my own presentation, I was just trying to lay some basic fundamentals on the table, so let me just mention three of the points that I hit upon. One is that in talking about grace and freedom, we're talking about a non-competitive relationship between God's freedom and our capacity to live out a life of self-determination, to live out the life in which we're genuinely making the decisions that come to us in light of our desire to follow the will of God. Secondly, I also, and here I'm piggybacking on something you find in the first chapter of the Cardinal's new book, but I also tried to address the question of the covert atheism that we find in our culture, not overt atheism where there's an outright denial of the existence of God, but an atheism whereby the primary impact is in the separation between the question of truth and freedom. When freedom becomes, I want to do whatever I want to do, a kind of libertine freedom, a kind of license, then there's no longer authentic freedom involved. There's no longer an ability to direct ourselves to the ultimate meaning of life. And so this question about the separation between truth and freedom leads us to try to formulate a new, more positive idea of freedom as self-determination, in which it's not just about multiplying the number of possible choices we can make, but it's about authentically living a free life in which the choice to do something once and for all, whether it's to become a priest or to enter into the religious life or to marry someone in an indissoluble bond, that choice actually is fulfillment of our deepest desire within our heart and is seen as such. So those are just some of the points I tried to make.
One thing I'm asking you, Peter, go back to your first point. What about, you mentioned in terms of grace in relation to non-competitive. That word, that non-competitive, intrigued me to use that in relation to grace and freedom. Say something more about that.
Well, sure. I think grace is something that fulfills a created capacity that we have within us. Grace is not something that is due to us. Grace is gratuitous or free, but it genuinely elevates a capacity that we have in us by virtue of being created in the image and likeness of God. I mean, there's an extended discussion in the theological tradition about how God, as ultimate love, as absolute love, is also self-subsistent being. There's nothing about the being of God that's lacking. There's nothing about the being of God that still needs to be actualized. It is pure ising, pure being itself. And so when we think about our freedom, which is dignified, which is ripe for completion, which is always carrying itself out in the activities of the world, we have to think about it against this horizon of understanding in which God is the absolute being and as such the absolute giver of being and love.
When I was at Mundelein Seminary, ordained in 79, I remember we had Father Charlie Meyer, he's an icon at Mundelein Seminary.
He's still there.
University of Mary the Lake, and the guy's priest is brilliant. He's ordained in 1945. Remember, his definition of grace was God's loving presence and are being transformed in God's presence. God's loving presence and are being transformed in his presence was his definition of grace. And I've always used that as a hook to get a better grasp what we mean by, we use the word grace often. And that was just a definition. I always like definitions.
You know, Peter, everyone seems to be in touch with the fact that conscience is supreme. You know, you're supposed to follow your conscience. But what I think a lot of us miss is the importance of having a well-informed conscience. How does grace play into that equation?
I think grace is the very foundation of the equation. Grace is the ultimate condition for even talking about an equation. I mean, to go back to the definition which you put on the table, a loving presence and being transformed by that presence, grace is the very possibility of looking at the order of creation, looking at the world in which we go to work, in which we go enjoy nature with our families, the world around us, and seeing seed transformation. I mean, even evolutionary biology and scientists today are looking at kind of the cruciform nature of reality itself and saying maybe there's a hint here, maybe there's some kind of trace of something that we can ultimately bring back to the understanding we have of God as the author of all creation. So it's not just something that comes to us by virtue of reading the scriptures and listening to homilies on Sunday, but it's something that's out there in the world, the signs of grace. And then in terms of the transformation, it's the very possibility of being able to say that we want to desire more God. Grace is the very possibility of being able to say to God that we have a capacity and a will and an ability to live out this dignity that we have in us by virtue of being made in God's image. Yeah.
You know, Peter, you mentioned covert atheism. What about the overt atheism, which seems to be spreading? You know, it seems to be encroaching. Are you concerned about that? As a person in the academy, do you see greater evidence of that than maybe we would have seen 10 years, 15 years ago?
Well, I think the fact of the matter is you see both. I mean, we can talk about academic debates that I have to engage here in DePaul and elsewhere. And that is a factor, that there are people who, I mean, coming out of their own view of the world and with their own integrity, I must say, who just come to the conclusion that God does not exist and want to defend that view. I frankly kind of welcome the opportunity to engage such people because it puts issues on the table that everyone needs.
We need to bring the
about.
Program to a close, Peter, so I want to thank in a very special way Dr. Peter Cassarella, Professor of Catholic Studies and Director of the Center for World Catholicism and Intercultural Theology at DePaul University for being a guest. Great job. Thank you to our co-host, Grazia Marcheschi. Great producing by Diane Dunnigan. Great engineering by Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. To all, have a great day. God bless you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.